Today we have the account of the prophecy and the beginning of the fulfillment of God's plan to save the whole human race. Achaz, the king, and not a good man, is faced with enemies coming from the north. And Isaiah, the prophet, has gone to him and said, they will not prevail. God has decided. They will not prevail. And ask any sign you want, Achaz, from God. He'll give you a sign to console you and to give you strength faced with these enemies who are much stronger than you are. And Achaz, if you remember, said, oh, I wouldn't tempt the Lord. That's political piety. If the Lord comes through with this sign, then he's really real. And I have to obey him. And I have to listen to his commandments and have to live my life according to his law. So better keep him at a distance and not quite sure whether he's real or not real. That's what he's saying. I wouldn't ask a sign. I won't ask a sign because God will become too real, too close, too loving, too authoritative. And the Lord said to Isaiah, give him a sign anyway, because it's not just for him. And so Isaiah said, listen, O house of David, house of David. That goes back to the promise from another prophet, Nathan, who when David wanted to build a house for the Lord, said to him, this is what the Lord tells you. You're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house. The house of David. And so, this is all redolent of that promise. And this house of David will reign forever, as it does in Jesus Christ. And this is the sign. See, is it not enough for you to weary men? Must you also weary my God? Therefore the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, with us God. Now, why does God do this? We're so used to this prophecy, and you know, here's two prophecies, right? One referring to the other one. Because he has mercy on us. He's trying to direct our lives and prepare us to understand what he's doing. And then finally, there's another prophecy. Rejoice, most favored one. The Lord is with you. Rejoice, most favored one. Isn't this the prophecy of Zechariah and Zephaniah? Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Yes. This is the angel making known to Mary that all the prophecies that God had given to her people are now going to be fulfilled. So, she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Why would this an angel come in the first place? And why would he say these things to me? And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. To say the least. Can you imagine what delight God the Father takes in Mary? He created her. He had her conceived immaculately. And through all her life she responded with all she had. Worshipping God, loving God, praying that God would fulfill his promises, his prophecies. What kind of a love is that? Huh? As the fathers of the church tell us, she conceived the word in her heart before she conceived him in her body. So there she is. Now, there's another prophecy. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. That's the prophecy of what's just going to happen now and fulfill all the other prophecies. Now, why does God do this? Just look at the mercy. He guides our life. He guides the church. He guides. He comes. He speaks. He acts. We are not alone. Ever. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. Again, Bet David, the house of David. God is faithful to his promises. Do you know what? If you read in the breviary, we have Psalm 89 in the morning. Whenever we want it. It's the office of readings. And the first part of Psalm 89 is a hymn in honor of the God's fidelity, that is his chesed, to the promise he made, this promise to David. And we finish that first half of the psalm on, Wednesday, whatever day. Thursday, we pick it up again, right in the middle. And what does it say? You've rejected us. Where's David? This is a time when the people have no king. They're a disgrace. You've rejected us. You've thrown his crown into the dust. Everybody plunders us. They really pray. And yet, the great ones kept saying, God is faithful. God is faithful. If he promised that there would be a son of David on the throne forever, he will come through. God is faithful. So there's Simeon and Anna. They're waiting for the consolation of Israel, and it involves this son of David. They're a poor, neglected, persecuted, dominated people with no king at all, except this fellow Herod, who's only half Jewish to begin with, and has got nothing to do with the house of David. And yet they pray. Yet they wait. Yet they trust. You promised that there would be a son of David on the throne forever. There will be a son of David on the throne forever. Even though we've just gone through 4-5 centuries without a king. Or with a joke for a king, you know, not even a son of David. That's faith. That's knowing God. So she says, how can this be? I have no relations with a man. It must have been that, every woman wants to be the mother of the Messiah. The obligation, be fruitful and multiply. And she's saying, I'm supposed to dedicate myself, body and soul, to God. And yet, I must do this in a way that is in keeping with the desires of my parents, she's obedient. So she asks a question. How can this be? And the answer comes, a new creation, Mary. The Holy Spirit hovered over the darkness, over the abyss, and God spoke, let there be light. And there was light. Now there's a new creation, Mary. The Holy Spirit hovered over the people. And God spoke. And they became a people. And now the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, like the Shekinah overshadows the ark. And therefore, the child to be born of you will be called Holy, the Son of God. And here's a sign for you. Your cousin, in her old age, beyond the age of childbearing, has conceived. In fact, he's going to be the one to prepare the way for your child. And so, Mary says, yes. Yes. Now, she's probably about 16, but the most enlightened human mind that ever was. She knows the prophecies. Involved in this prophecy about the king is the servant who's going to carry the sins of the people and reconcile them to God. And she's going to be involved in this. And she said, look, I'm the Lord's servant. Whatever he wants is fine. But she said it with such power, such agreeing. No one could say yes like that if they had the slightest touch of sin. And the great saints and mystics who read this text and have this reality, this event, impressed on their spirit, they knew she was immaculately conceived. How else could she say this kind of a yes? So it's given to us this day, on the 20th of December, to get us ready. For what? For another fulfillment of this promise. The Lord doesn't just come so we can have a feast day. He likes feast days. He comes because the church is the physical presence of Christ on earth. And he comes to deepen that. It's a grace. It's a gift. And that's why the church has taken all this time through all of Advent. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Do you understand? I've blessed you. I feed you on my body and blood. I am the king forever. Open your eyes and look out there. Don't they need help? Most of this poor world doesn't even recognize God anymore. Don't they need help? Look at Sudan. Look at the Middle East. Look at China. Look at wherever you want to look. Look at Washington. Yet, we can abide with all the holy people. God is faithful to his promises. And he will never not be faithful to his promises. So it doesn't make any difference how we feel or whether the turkey gets burnt. You see, what the difference is, God, you spoke, and I believe you. And if we can do that, it's because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is no way anybody in this chapel, anybody in this world, can believe like that without the power, the anointing, the energy, the love of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we ask for today. Not just for ourselves, but for the whole church. That in this world of darkness, fear, preoccupation with money, all sorts of things, in this world, they will come to recognize Christ. And the Lord will be there with us. And as we celebrate Thursday, why doesn't God come on Wednesday? He's God. Do you see his humility? We decided to have Mass this morning at 8 o'clock. And God will come at 8 o'clock. If we had half the humility of God, we'd be in a lot better shape. So this text is given us now. We have just these few days left. Meditate on Mary, the church. She is the church, the way it's always supposed to be. Whatever you want, God, it's yours.